Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Hello, and welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
And here we are with episode 13.
Wow. I can't believe it's episode 13. You know, I really think that this was a plot to get me to talk more.
You think it's a plot to get you to talk more?
I was thinking about that the other day, because like, since we've started doing this, I've talked more than I've ever talked.
Well, apparently it's working then.
Yeah, so. Well, because I don't like to talk. But anyway, we digress. Mm-hmm. So we do have a scripture we're going to share tonight, which is John 8:32, that says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And that is from the Christian Standard Bible.
Mm-hmm. So our topic tonight is perceptions versus reality. And when we were praying about a scripture for the podcast, "The truth will set you free," came immediately into our minds, but we do have to be responsible and talk about that scripture in the context in which you find it in the Bible. And it does in John 8, verse 32, obviously follows verse 31. And that's where Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him as the Messiah, he said, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So this was the first example of God connecting truth to freedom, where he said that he was the truth. He was showing them the truth of how to get to heaven and how to be free from their sins. But "you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free" can also be applied to other situations and to the situation that we're talking about tonight when we're talking about perception versus reality.
Yeah, I was excited about this one because it can be related to or applied to not just the marriage relationship or a almost married or dating, but it can apply to really any relationship where there's two or more people.
Mm-hmm. I think truth is a characteristic that people really value, or quality that people value in others. You certainly want people to be truthful with you. You want to be able to know that people are honest with you. And we live in a world where there's a lot of dishonesty and deception. And so that's important to know that in your relationships.
Well, I think a lot of times when we're talking about truth in relationships, to me that means that when you say something, I know what you mean. And that doesn't always, let's just say that's not always the case. So I was on Facebook last night and I came across a story which I thought was funny and would actually relate to this, where it was about a couple who were in a marriage counselor's office, and the counselor looked at the husband and said, "She says you don't buy her flowers anymore." And then after thinking a minute, the man replied, "I didn't even realize she sold flowers," which we had to laugh about that. But in reality, that stuff happens. I mean, one of us will say one thing and the other one, you know, you say something, I'll give the best answer for what I think you're talking about. And you're talking about something entirely different.
And a lot of times that happens because we process things differently. I tend to process things out loud, but I will just pop them out. Like, I'll be in mid-thought, and I will say something, and then he'll be like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, and then a lot of times, like, you will verbalize things. I'll internalize things, and a lot of times you'll go through to me like, 10 minutes worth of talking, and I'll respond, Yep. Which I know that's annoying sometimes, but it's like, I don't know what else to say.
Depending on the seriousness of the subject, sometimes that really irritates me.
And it doesn't mean I'm not listening. It's just, I don't always know what to say.
Mm-hmm. I've actually learned if I want a serious response or I want him to think about the response that I will have to say, and I want you to respond using more words than uh-huh or okay, which uh-huh isn't even, well, I guess it's probably in the Urban Dictionary.
Oh, it's in there.
Not really a word.
It's in there. It's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wikipedia, I'm sure, has it in there somewhere.
Possibly.
Yeah. So, but anyway, and this is one of those things, again, we talked about where, and I think we touched on this in another podcast as well, how our past really makes a difference in how we perceive things.
Mm-hmm. I think it's especially true for individuals who are dealing with a root of rejection in their past. If you have been rejected by others in your life, parents, siblings, your spouse, other people in relationships with you, people in authority over you, that can color your whole perspective. And I mean, that's something we are quick to say that we are not marriage counselors.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you have a deep-seated issue like that, that's an opportunity to find professional help to help you work through and get set free from that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I had a root of rejection. And before I really dealt with it, it would change my perception of things that you would say. And mm-hmm. I could create a whole scenario based on my head about, oh, well, he said this because this is what he's thinking. And oh my gosh, I must not be good enough, or this must not be okay. Or does he really think that about me? And I mean, how many times have you had that discussion, even with people that aren't close to you, but just people that you encounter in everyday life, mm-hmm. where somebody has said something and you have internalized it in a different way? I really like the work of Byron Katie, and she developed a system about looking at life situations, and it was based on looking at your perception of something. And the questions that she asked when she's working somebody through this is, she will ask them to state what the issue is and what the conclusion is about the issue. And then she says, is this true? This thought you're having, is this thought, is it true? Is it really, really true? And it's very interesting to hear her work people through that and then have them turn the thought around and go through it, because a lot of times it is based just on our perception. Mm-hmm. It's not truth. It's not what the other person meant. I know I've been in situations even at work where I have said something that has been, I just said something like without any emotion attached to it. I can be pretty blunt. I'm the type of person that just kind of says stuff. And
I've noticed that about you.
Have you noticed that about me?
Yeah.
And I've said things that I didn't mean in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. It was just a statement about something. And people have internalized that with great offense. It's been really... And we had a situation with somebody that misinterpreted an email that was sent to them. And it was even, it was an email that I wrote to someone, and I knew it had the potential to have some volatility in it. And I actually sought out somebody else to read the email before I sent it to make sure that I had communicated in a way that didn't come off as aggressive or defensive or whatever. And then my husband ran into this person in another setting, and
Walmart,
and they really went off on him. And you know, he's trying to shut it down. It's like, you know, like we can talk about this, but you know, this isn't the place or time. And this person just kept going on, and their perception of the communication,
mm-hmm.
they had developed the story in their head that was so far off from what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
It was It was crazy. It was just really crazy. But that it had a lot to do with where that person was at the time, a situation they were going through, and the lens of perception that they looked at everything with. So it's very, very easy to misperceive something. I just had it happen this week at work. Someone that I work with made a statement again in an email. Email, you have to be so careful with email. Email really has the propensity to create miscommunication or misunderstanding. But they said something in the email, and their statement really was complimentary. Like, oh, you have done so much in this situation, and I don't want to burden you with having to do this particular task again. And the way I read it and interpreted it was that I was not doing something correctly, or that I had changed how we were doing something and it was making life crazy for this person. I totally misinterpreted it. And I did make sure, I made a point to seek out that person, to talk with the person and just say, I'm a little confused by this. Could you tell me what you meant by this statement? And then this person explained it to me, and I was like, oh, my perception was totally off. And this was not about anything important. So you can see how easily this can happen when you're in relationships with people, in close relationships, like in a marriage relationship or a dating relationship, that you can really, you could start World War III over over nothing.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things we've learned to do too over the years is when you say something to me then I'm not quite sure what it is, I'll ask, well, is this what you really meant? And sometimes it is, and oftentimes it's what I heard is not what you said.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we were talking about our past. I mean, I was thinking about just, we were talking before about when we first got married. I had been divorced twice. So my perception was if we fought, we would get divorced. You'd leave me. So when we fought or had heated discussions, let's say, I would stand there and listen and not talk. And you would get upset because I wasn't arguing and fighting back with you.
Yeah, so I thought you didn't care because you didn't fight back.
And it wasn't that I didn't care. It's just that I didn't want to have to go through another divorce.
Well, I'm glad I didn't want to go through a first divorce, so I'm glad that you did that. So,
well, you're getting me almost broken in now, so.
Yes, so.
So sometimes we talk two different languages, it seems like, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're saying one thing, I'm saying the same thing, but it's like, you know, my perception is you're talking a totally different language than I am. I know we have to laugh when our daughter's here, or our daughter and son-in-law, or them and our grandsons are here, and they'll be listening to us going back and forth, bickering, as they call it. And they're like, you guys are saying exactly the same thing. But it's our perception.
Yeah, they actually call us the Bickertons.
Yeah. Which, depending on your age, you may not know the Bickertons, but if you look at some of the old radio shows, there was a couple called the Bickertons.
So, well, and that, do you remember that book that was out?
Yes, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus,
Yes,
we read that, and that really made a lot of sense because they talked about how men think differently than women, and women think differently than men, and yeah, that actually, I know that clarified a lot of things. Well, clarified, I don't know if that's the right word, but
I don't clarified, know.
Made sense that we couldn't always understand what each other was saying.
Yeah, so now he'll say stuff to me like, would you just speak the same language?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which, depending on the situation, that can be good or bad, too.
Well, and I mean, different people, and I wouldn't say it's all women, I wouldn't say it's all men, but the way I think is, you know, I have a single, simple train of thought, usually, about something, where if I ask you what you were thinking about or how you came to that conclusion or decision or whatever, it's a little more lengthy.
There was also another book out that was called Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti. And I loved that analogy even better than the Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus one, because it talked about how men's brains compartmentalize things. How when you put syrup in a waffle, the syrup flows into every little compartment, but it stays there. It doesn't go into the other compartments. It just stays there. Whereas women's brains are like a plate of spaghetti. And you can't tell where one piece of spaghetti stops and the next piece starts. And that's often how my train of thought is. And I know a lot of women, their train of thought is like that too. Is one time you asked me, because of course
I was silly enough to ask.
I don't go from point A to point B in a conversation. Lots of times I go from point A to point Z in a conversation at one time.
And then back to D and A. And
one time you asked me, you were like, how did you get from here to there? And I looked at him and I said, do you really want to know?
Silly me.
Yeah, silly you. You said yes. And so I said, well, I thought about this. And then that made me think about this. And this reminded me about that. And then that took me to this. And then this took me over there. And then that made me remember about this. And then it took me. And then I went through the whole process of how I got from A to Z. And he said, I'm sorry I asked and I will never ask again. So now all I have to do sometimes when he says, how did you get that? I'll look at him and say, do you really want to know?
Nope.
And your response is?
Nope. Nope. Yeah, we definitely think differently. We communicate differently. Yes, it's like speaking two different languages.
But that is the important part that Wayne said in all of this. It's you have to train yourself to ask questions. Mm-hmm. You can't make assumptions. I could say something about assumptions, but there's a saying about assumptions. And that happens a lot when you make assumptions about how people are communicating something. And so if you are in a conversation and something is said and you get hurt feelings by it, especially women. If you, all of a sudden, if you get hurt and you feel wounded or crushed by that, you need to go back to your significant other and say, you know, we were having this conversation and you made this comment and I'm just struggling with it a little bit. I don't know how to take this. And I'm thinking that I might be interpreting it wrong. Could you talk to me a little bit more about what you meant by this? And it's kind of awkward at first when you do it, because I think sometimes we think, especially as married couples, that we should just be able to naturally communicate with each other and understand each other. And you do, it's kind of scary. You do get to be more and more like each other the longer that you're together. And you do learn to communicate in nonverbal ways and verbal ways. Lots of times you can complete each other's sentences and you look at each other and the same words come out. But there still are times where the communication may be different and what comes out, what's spoken, might be completely different from what the person is thinking, or you may be interpreting it's something that can be interpreted multiple ways and you interpret it in a way that is not what the communicator meant. So take the time to go talk with each other, ask questions when you feel like a communication is making you hurt or angry, and get clarification.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of times that's what gets us in trouble, because we've been together for a relatively long time, and a lot of times we are on the same page, and sometimes we know exactly what the other one's thinking, but there are times we don't, and I think sometimes, I know for me, I just assume I understand what you're saying. I can't understand why the heck you're saying that, but that's obviously what you meant, because, you know, we're on the same wavelength, but that's my perception. Mm-hmm. We're not.
Yep. And it turns out that I meant something completely different.
Completely different. Yeah.
So don't make assumptions. Mm-hmm. Check your perceptions. Talk with one another when you're not sure about how something has been communicated.
Communicate, communicate, communicate. Mm-hmm.
And look for the truth in the situation. Yep. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Yep.
All right. So That's it for this week. We may continue this subject later, but for right now, we're going to sign off, and we pray that your marriage will be richly blessed and that you'll have a great weekend.
All right. We will talk to you next week. God bless. Bye now.
Bye.